You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio.
A little Freddie and Harry in the morning, because that's going to start next Tuesday. Freddie and Harry in the afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, with me, Freddie, coming to Harry Douglas. We're giving you a little taste on this Labor Day weekend presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for joining us on the AM Thang on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPNU. College football getting started last night. And a little reunion having right now, because we got Trevor Maddich in studio, ESPN College Football Analyst, co-host of College Game Day with Matt Schick, Trevor Maddich, and Matt Sims. That happens tomorrow. But Harry Douglas, Trevor, has something to say to you having this little College Game Day reunion that we got going on right now.
Yeah, Trevor, you and Matt, I first started doing ESPN Radio with you guys, and you guys made me so comfortable to the fact that I felt like every week I had to get more and more. Like, you know how Pookie was in New Jack City. Scotty is calling me, man. I need that hit.
Help me,
you know,
Trevor. I'm gonna die.
It was to the point, Freddie, where I was trying my best not to miss a show, because right. I had started doing game day like late in that season too. So I didn't care. I was double dipping, man. I was doing game day. I would go to my room just so I could be with my guys, Trevor and wow. Matt. But y'all guys, man, you know, set the tone for me when it came to ESPN Radio. And I can't thank y'all enough, Trevor, for real.
Harry, we miss you. We miss you. I mean, Matt Schick, he and I, we talk about you all the time. And the thing is, it's like everything is good. It's like you walk into a room with the light on and everything looks fine.
Right.
And then Harry Douglas walks in and it's like somebody turned on another light.
No doubt.
And it's better. Absolutely. It's bigger. And that's the way it was with you from the very beginning. And the thing that we appreciated was that you were really the light of that show. And yet you were, I mean, you had an attitude towards it like you were appreciative. Not like, hey, I'm Harry and I'm showing up. It's like you were appreciative to be there, and that was part of your light. And listeners of this show know full well what I'm talking about, Harry. We miss you a lot.
Appreciate it, bud.
See, that's what I love about this. Guys having reunions like this, talking college football, talking ball. And both of you guys, I've known you guys for more than a minute. Just to see what both of you guys have been able to go from point A to point B to point C to point D, that's gratifying for me, because I always learn something extra anytime I listen to you guys talk college football. Trevor, what are you doing on College Game Day? Also on TV, Harry, I'm about to do a show with him starting next week. It's always cool for me as a college football guy that I learned something additional when you guys run, no matter who you're talking about.
Well, plus, I mean, you're kind of the OG of ESPN. Right?
I am.
You're like I mean, when I first got, this is my 20th year.
Yep.
And early
we got it around the same
career,
time. Yep.
Yeah, I remember coming on the air with you, Freddie. So it's, you know, and it's always been wonderful. I mean, this is kind of like a reunion. So please forgive me for gushing a little bit,
no,
audience. But
no.
It's a thrill for me to be on with both of these guys.
No doubt about it. Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Football Analyst, like we mentioned, co-host of College Game Day on ESPN Radio each and every Saturday with Matt Schick. Trevor Maddich and Matt Sims will be there together. He joins Freddie Coleman and Harry Douglas in studio this morning on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. I hate to do this to Nebraska fans, because it should be a new beginning. You got Matt Rhule. You had 92,000 people for your volleyball team, setting a new world record for a most attended event for a women's sporting event in this country. But Trevor and Harry, Nebraska again. Had to leave versus Minnesota. Couldn't win that close game. They lose 13-10. I know it's not going to be different, but what did you see from Nebraska? You say to yourself, okay, this could be different, even though Nebraska themselves again losing to Minnesota last night.
Yeah, Freddie, I thought it would be, because I know Matt Rhule from Baylor. On part of my off-season tour, I stopped there and I visited with him and talked to him about especially defense, you know, how he was able to turn Temple into such a defensive powerhouse at the mid-major level, put tons of guys into the NFL from Temple,
right,
from his defense. Then he went and did the same thing at Baylor and elevated that offense as well and turned it around from the debacle that had been Baylor football because of off-the-field scandal. And the things that he did at Baylor would translate anywhere. It's focus on discipline, tackling. And he, from a defensive standpoint, told me he didn't have the philosophy that he would simplify things so guys could play faster. He said, no, we're going to put them in the best position to succeed on every single play, and we expect them to understand it and be able to execute it. And I'm watching the Nebraska defense play really well. Now, part of that, too, Minnesota's offense wasn't clicking on all cylinders. But they were playing really well. And with 5 minutes to go, they were up 10-3, and it looked like Nebraska was going to get their first win under Matt Rhule, and it looked like they were going to expunge the one-score loss demon that had been their bugaboo for years.
Nope.
No, because they're up 10-3, right?
Nope, yep.
They have the ball at midfield.
Mm-hmm.
So it's first down. They're trying to run the clock out. They hand the ball off. Running back is about 4 or 5 yards downfield. Nice gain. And he gets big Nebraska eyes. And he sees that big end zone for a big Nebraska touchdown. And he thinks, you know, I'm going to make up even a bigger play. So instead of squeezing that ball high and tight, which will slow you down a little bit, he went ahead and let the ball come away from his body because he saw that there were no tacklers around him in his line of vision. And he was going to make a play. What he didn't see was a tackler coming from behind. Swatted the ball out. Minnesota gets it. And they drive it down for a touchdown. They tie the game. Now Nebraska gets the ball back. What happens? About a minute ago, interception, mm-hmm. midfield, mm-hmm. and they drive the ball down. Minnesota does to kick the walk-off game-winning field goal. And Nebraska was just minutes before thought that they had finally won one of those close one-score games. They lost another one. Now, Matt Rhule, the coach, actually, I liked what he said afterwards. He said, you know, we committed 4 turnovers in this game.
Mm-hmm.
3 were interceptions by Jeff Sims, the quarterback. And yet they still had to kick a walk-off field goal at home, Minnesota, to beat us. That's what he said. And I thought that was a positive spin on it that he really had to do. But for Nebraska fans, you've already had your stomach ripped out, your spleen in your liver, and this was your gallbladder. For goodness sake, when's this going to end?
Well, and I will say this for Jeff Sims, because coming into the season, and I also, Trevor, when I'm critiquing these college kids, I'm also careful too, because you know they are young, and you know you want all of them to do so well. But at the end of the day, Jeff Sims, when he transferred to Nebraska, I said it was 2 things that he had to focus on. Number 1, being more precise as a passer, and his completion percentage, and taking care of the football. And in that game, it's crazy because as good as he was rushing the football, when it came to the pass game, like that interception before halftime, really I was pulling my hair out in here because there was a guy underneath like wide open for a touchdown. But at worst, if you're Matt Rhule, you're saying to yourself, we're going to walk out of here with 3 points, and you didn't get any, and you end up losing by 3 points. So I want Matt Rhule to figure out how he's going to make sure Jeff Sims is okay, right, moving forward. Because from a narrative throughout his entire career has been, okay, he's not accurate as a passer. He turns the football over. That's some of the things that we've seen in this first game at Nebraska. So now, immediately, I understand you're in coach mode a lot, but now it's a sense of he has to go in dad mode. Like, how am I going to get my child in this confidence so it's not down in the dirt so our team can move forward as well?
Yeah, kind of like Freddie with us in dad mode. Nebraska goes to
Colorado.
That's
breaking news.
Nebraska goes to Colorado next week. And Colorado's got a couple of shutdown corners.
Yes, they do.
Right? One of them's going to be a first-round draft choice. The other one will probably be drafted as well. And here comes Jeff Sims and the Nebraska passing attack that struggled so mightily against Minnesota. So we'll see what happens next week. The drama is building right now.
Yeah. Speaking of building drama, Alan Yates hit it. This according to Pete Thamel, ESPN NFL, ESPN College Football Insider and College Football Reporter. ACC presidents and chancellors have voted this morning to extend invitations to Stanford, California, and SMU to join the ACC to push that league to 18 teams. That's what sources told ESPN's Pete Thamel. Trevor, your thoughts, and Harry, piggyback after that.
This is inoculation. They don't want to become like the Pac-12.
Absolutely. Good
point.
You
know, where you have some teams leave, some of them unexpectedly, and all of a sudden, the Pac-12 after this football season will disappear in a shower of sparks, as we know it. Just poof, and they're gone. And who was the Pac-12 going to bring in to replace all those teams that were gone? There was nobody available that could have the buyout from their own conference and all the different things, the grant of rights. And they're stuck, not even able to expand right now very easily. So the ACC is looking at this. And by bringing in those teams, what they do is they pad their roster of teams so that if somebody's able to figure out contractually how to get out of the grant of rights before 2036,
which is a
long
time,
they're not going to be down to eight teams, right? And if they end up at 2036, if somebody is mad enough to leave, and several are, they still have guys there. Because if they don't bring these teams in, think about it. Let's fast forward to 2036, because it will come. And let's say that Florida State and Clemson and North Carolina and some others say, fine, we're done with this. We have an invitation at some other places and we're going to go. Who would the ACC bring in? Think about it. Who are the teams they'd bring in? Right. Now, by bringing in two Power 5 teams from California, and you know, you've got SMU in Dallas.
In the American Athletic Conference, yep.
Who's in Dallas, right? You bring them in now. It pads your roster in case you have an exodus so that you don't go poof in a shower of sparks like the Pac-12.
And I understand the logic behind it. I'm a Louisville alum, so I'm not going to say I'm the biggest fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the travel and you look at, you know, football drives revenue for all these universities.
Absolutely.
And when you look at how, you know, Louisville is going to be going to Stanford to play or Cal or vice versa, do you really think that's going to be beneficial for the ACC and these universities when it comes to the money side of things? No, I don't think so at all. But it is what it is. This is a decision that they made. I'm going to continue to say I don't agree with it, but it is what it is. One thing I can say about Stanford is that across the board, even though Stanford isn't good in football, they're good in volleyball, they're good in baseball, they're good in women's basketball, they're good at a lot of other sports. So you do have that piece of it. I just don't see, outside of what Trevor mentioned, I don't see the win for the ACC. Outside of the one point that Trevor made.
We're going to continue this discussion. Pete Thamel, ESPN College Football Insider, just reporting that ACC presidents and chancellors have voted this morning to extend invitations to Stanford, California, and SMU. Now the ACC is going to have 18 teams. We'll talk about that landscape, how it affects not just college football, but other big-time college sports. We'll do that. Trevor Mattis, stay with us in studio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
So is it going to be the ACPC? The Atlantic Coast Pacific Conference?
It'll be the AC-18.
The AC-18? The 18 AC? It's going to be something. You got Freddie and Harry this morning. Freddie Coleman, that's me. Harry Douglas, that's him. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPNU. Our man Trevor Mattis, ESPN College Football Analyst, also on College Game Day each and every Saturday morning, joining us in studio because the ACC has welcomed not only Stanford, not only California, but also SMU with open arms. And this Good Hands Moment of the Week is brought to you by Allstate. With insurance of Allstate, you'll be game day ready every day. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent today to learn more. Allstate, you're in good hands. So now the ACC is going to have 18 teams. The Big Ten has 300 teams. The SEC has everybody else. And then you have the Big 12 saying, we'll take everybody else. And meanwhile, you got Oregon State and Washington State going, what do we do? Where do we go? in terms of ramifications, Trevor, what does this move, this latest move, really mean for college athletics?
Well, for those two schools, if they don't get an invite to existing Power 5 conference, which I don't think they will, then they go from $25, $30 million a year income funding an athletic budget designed for that kind of cash flow
right,
to maybe $5 million a year that the Mountain West is providing.
Oof.
I mean, sports will be gone, coaches will be gone, all kinds of things change because of that.
Yep. And that's huge because and it's unfortunate too when you look at Washington State, Oregon State. Who are the other two? Who am I missing?
Oregon State, Washington State. That's it.
Oh, they're the only two, yeah.
They're not the Pac-2.
Yeah.
They're Tupac. That's what they are right now.
Let me tell you what's crazy about that, especially when you look at Oregon State. Oregon State is ranked 18th in the country right now as a football program.
Yeah.
Right? With a top, I would say, four offensive line in college football as well. There are high hopes for this program, and they're already not going to get that Oregon State rivalry game at the end of the year that, you know, so many people in the state of Oregon look forward to. But potentially missing out on that revenue money, that money, that's huge, man, in a bad way for their program if they can't find one of these other conferences to go to.
Yeah, and then
or at least power conferences to go to, I should say.
Yeah, and then people are talking about the rivalry games going away, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State, two of the most bitter, passionate, wonderful rivalries in all of college sports. And those might go away because they might not be able to play non-conference when you've got 18, 20 teams in your own conference. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we don't need to lose the Civil War when it comes to Oregon State. From the Apple Cup when it comes to Washington State, but we're going to lose both of those games.
And from a financial standpoint, just some of the consequences that you can foresee coming, the smaller teams, the FCS teams, the Group of Five teams that fund much of their athletic budget by going to play Alabama the week before the Auburn game, right? That kind of a thing. They might lose those games now. And so there's lots of trickle down, and we'll see what happens. There might be a revenue sharing thing to kind of help keep a lot of those places afloat. But From a standpoint of what bad could happen, there's a lot there. But from a standpoint of what good could happen, because I don't know that there's enough attention paid to this. Lots of things are weird. We'll lose some rivalry games. Okay, but we lost Nebraska-Oklahoma. That used to be appointment viewing just like just like Ohio State-Michigan, right? Everybody wanted to see that game, good versus evil.
The Friday after Thanksgiving.
That's right. And so Nebraska-Oklahoma, that game went away. And nostalgic people miss it, but most people now it's like, well, whatever, right? And so things change and the sport doesn't die. But now you're going to see Michigan rolling into Autzen Stadium in Oregon, right? Awesome. USC is going to play at Penn State.
And at Ohio State.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of new avenues that are open, and I think it's going to make a real difference in what's going to end up happening from a national championship / NFL model standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Trevor, because, you know, you have your cons, but there are also pros to it. When I look at Ohio State and Oregon and Oregon being able to beat Ohio State early a few years ago, when I look at, you know, Washington and Michigan playing a few years ago, and I'm looking forward to seeing those two teams compete. Also, this Texas-Alabama thing.
Mm-hmm.
We seen a game in Texas and Alabama last year that was phenomenal, that came down to the wire. And now those two teams are going to play this year. But with Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC, I'm pretty sure we would see more of that. So I think there's some – listen, Arthur Blank, the owner for the Atlanta Falcons, he has a book called Get Good Company. And one of the pillars in that book is that you have to innovate continuously. And I think, yes, there are cons to the realignment across college football, but there are also some bright sides to it, too. There are new rivalries that are going to be made within everything that's going on. So there are positives to look at it. It's just not – we just can't sit up here and, you know, and point out the negative things with everything that's going on in college football.
Great stuff by Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Football Analyst, joining us in studio. Great stuff from Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman, a little Freddie and Harry in the morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. The big news of the day, according to Pete Thamel, ESPN College Football Insider and Reporter, SMU, Stanford, and Cal – will be joining the ACC. The additions will be in all sports, and that's going to begin next year, 2024-2025 school year. Cal, Stanford, and SMU will come at a significant discount. That will help create a revenue pool to be shared among ACC members. SMU is expected to come in for 7 years with no broadcast media revenue, and both Cal and Stanford were expected to receive 30% shares of ACC payouts. They're coming to this conference saying, you know what? They literally have hat in hand when it comes to SMU, Cal, and Stanford. They're just like a Cinderella man. Right now, they are Gentleman Jim Corbett going across the river begging for scraps, because that's where they are, because Cal, Stanford, and SMU did not want to be left out of potential power conference situation, Trevor and Harry. Trevor, you can start first and say, we don't want to be where Oregon State and Washington State is now, because we have way too much money to spend for our athletic programs, not just in football.
Yeah, and they're in the American now, but going to the ACC, they'll make a lot more money eventually. This kind of feels to me like SMU is saying to Florida State and Clemson and others in the ACC, please vote for us. We'll give you all of our revenue for a while. You can split it amongst yourselves. Please vote for us.
Take our horses, our wives, our children, our food, but we want to join. Just take it all.
But that's the risk.
That's the risk you're willing to take, though, right? When you're backed into a corner, especially if you're Cal and Stanford, like, the assumption is that at some point you would be able to get equal revenue share, right? But that point is not right now.
Money, as our friend Q Myers, who's about to do Game 9 ESPN Radio starting on Tuesday, he said it best, guys. Money is undefeated.
And why is that bad?
I didn't say it was bad. I'm just saying what it is.
I hear people lamenting that there's too much money in college football. Too much money. What are you talking about, too much money? There's no such thing as too much money. I wish I had too much money. Money isn't the problem. What you do with the money can be a problem.
Right.
But having the money there gives you a lot of options. Now, there's going to be a lot more schools, or a few schools that will have a lot more, and a whole bunch of them that are going to struggle badly. And that's a different kind of a problem that college football is going to have to work out. But for the people that are in the SEC and the Big Ten, making around $30 million a year per school, more than the Big 12 and the ACC, that money's not a problem for them.
No, not at all. And but real quick, I warn people about this, guys. The minute that the pandemic slowed down in 2020 and a lot of people had to have jobs furloughed, athletic budgets were slashed, to your point, Trevor, people were losing jobs, I said, how are they going to make that money back? They're going to be determined to make that money back. And they've made that money back on the road to that because of television, because people want to see live sports. They want to see live football. They want to see live basketball. They want to see live baseball. And people are willing to pay for that. That's why the bidding war will continue to go on, because college athletics knows that people will want to watch or want to stream. And that money revenue, that money stream, that seems to have no end to that track more than ever before.
And what we don't know is what new sources of competition for that streaming or that those broadcast rights will come in the future as technology evolves.
Amazon, Apple TV.
Well, hold on, guys. There's this group called Wu-Tang. Cash rules everything around it. Get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
If you got some pockets and they're empty, you're going to be empty and left out when it comes to that. Can't wait to have Trevor Matters once again part of College Game Day on ESPN Radio. That happens tomorrow from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Matt Schick and Matt Sims, because he had an alum reunion here with Harry Douglas, and he joined us in studio.
Love you, man.
Yeah, love you, Harry and Freddie. You too, man. You guys are two of my favorite people.
Well, we really appreciate that. You're one of our favorites as well, man. Keep up the great work, Trevor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great stuff by Trevor Matters joining us in studio. You can hit him on the X at T Matters joining Freddie Cohen and Harry Douglas this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. We flip things back to the National Football League. We gave you our division winners in the NFC last hour. In 5 minutes, you'll get our division winners in the AFC. Stick and stay with ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is ESPN Radio.
You're going to find out how the Wu-Tang Clan, Harry Douglas, and the ACC will all be in the same sentence. That comes you in 30 minutes. A little Freddie and Harry for you in the morning. I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Harry Douglas, presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and also on ESPNU. So last hour, we gave you all the division winners in the NFC.
I want winners.
Well, we're going to do the same thing now when it comes to the AFC. And as usual, we're going to have a little floor underneath us. We bring in our man, Pat Costello. He's going to be the voice of everything we do when it comes to this, because if you want it,
I want winners.
We're going to give you each and every winner in each and every division in the AFC. So, Pat Costello, where do we start?
Pratt, tell him your nickname first. Tell the world your nickname I have for you, Pat.
The AFC East.
That's not the nickname.
Okay, Project tick, Pat, take us out.
Tick, 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 tick.
The AFC East.
There you go. So we got the Buffalo Bills, who won this division the last couple of years. You got the Jets not have Aaron Rodgers. I know you're saying, who? Who's that? You got the Miami Dolphins, made the playoffs without Tua Tagovailoa. And New England Patriots had all that turmoil, but still are a top 10, potential top 8 defense. Who you got winning the AFC East?
I'm going to go with the New York Jets. I love the addition of Aaron Rodgers, right? I think he's going to be able to bring a different dimension for the quarterback position. When you looked at last season, between the three quarterbacks that they actually had, I thought it was incompetent play. No quarterback that they had completed over 60% of their passes. But now you're bringing in a guy in which this offense was ranked 29th in scoring. If they were a little bit better, they probably would have made the playoffs. And that's going to be complemented with a defense that only gave up 18.6 points per game, which was fourth in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a difference, okay, a difference maker. We know that defense is going to be top five. They were 11th and third down defense. You have stars across of it when you look at Quinnen Williams and also Sauce Gardner. I even like C.J. Mosley at the linebacker position. But when I look at 2022 and how they were able to beat the Buffalo Bills with a Zach Wilson, and Von Miller was playing in that game as well, mm-hmm, right? And sacking Josh Allen and forcing him to turn the football over, and then still having an opportunity to try to win that game and the second time around. That's why I'm rocking with the New York Jets. Okay. A lot of people say they were a quarterback away. I felt like if they had a guy like Aaron Rodgers, they would be good.
I hope you're right as a Jets fan. Because believe me, I've had too many years of J-E-T-S just in the season. I've been really tired of that when it comes to the New York Jets. So I hope that you're right, but I'm still going to slide to the Buffalo Bills' way. I know they're not going to have Von Miller the first four games, but Greg Rousseau is ready to take that step up. It's massive. Yeah, you missed that leadership. I think Greg Rousseau is going to step up and really be the kind of passer they thought they were getting out of Miami. He was pretty good in his rookie season. Ed Oliver is one of the best defensive tackles in football that nobody talks about. That defense is still going to be good, especially if Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer can stay healthy at the safety position. Offensively, I'm going to circle these names, James Cook and Damian Harris. Mm-hmm. If they're able to run the ball more effectively, now you don't have Josh Allen trying to be the best running back at the quarterback position. And, yeah, he has to reduce interceptions. He's got to be better in the red zone. He's got to be better in decision-making. I believe he's going to do that. A big key, Stephon Diggs needing the team captain. They didn't do that to placate him. They did it because they knew exactly kind of leadership he's going to bring to the table. He said it means a lot. Having those kind of little things like that and motivation, I still got the Buffalo Bills winning the AFC East when it's all said and done.
The AFC North.
I think this is going to be the best division of football.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you got two teams in Baltimore and Cincinnati will be fighting at the top of that division. You had a Pittsburgh Steelers team last year that won their last four games and just missed making the playoffs. You got a Browns defense going to be really good. Deshaun Watson can look anything like we were able to see the last times on the football for the Houston Texans. I think this potential of four teams winning at least nine games could happen in AFC North. But Harry Douglas, who wins it?
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's crazy, and this is why it's crazy for me that I'm saying that, because the last two seasons, before Lamar Jackson got hurt last year, they were leading the AFC North. The year before, in 2021, before Lamar Jackson got hurt, the Baltimore Ravens were the best team in the AFC as a conference. But one of the things that has swayed me to the Cincinnati Bengals is, you know, Joe Burrow at the quarterback position and also the health factor.
Right.
I think the Cincinnati Bengals have been more of the healthier team the last 2 years than the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if the Baltimore Ravens can stay healthy, my goodness, a lot of people watch out, because they have those skill position players now, and Lamar Jackson has those guys at his disposal. So really looking forward to this division being, you know, cutthroat, you know, down and dirty, physical, But I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals because of the health side of things.
I go back to the Baltimore Ravens that after they beat the Carolina Panthers on November 20th, they were 7-3 and had the best record in the AFC. And then everything unraveled with injuries to Lamar Jackson, injuries on defense. They're going to right that wrong this year. I'm with you about Cincinnati because they're the I'm not going to say they're the most complete team outside of Kansas in the AFC, but they got all that you want. That defense is going to be better. But I just look at what they've added with Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, who before he got injured was really tearing up things for the Baltimore Ravens. You add an Odell Beckham Jr. We know they're going to run the football effectively, and Lamar Jackson won't have to do all of that. And then you go to those filthy McNasties on defense that can get after people. Even they had all those injuries, they still were a top 10 defense in the National Football League. And now you got Roquan Smith there for the whole year. You got Michael Pierce, one of the most underrated defensive tackles at the nose tackle position. Their secondary, Kyle Hamilton, is going to be an all-pro, in my opinion, by the end of this year at the strong safety. It's going to be the best division in football. But after the bloodbath is all over, I think it's the Baltimore Ravens. They'll be bloodied. They'll be beaten. They'll be bruised, but they'll be number one.
And I'm not even mad at that pick, though, because
I'm not mad at your Bengals pick either.
Like, it's you could go either way and be satisfied as a customer.
No doubt about that. Giving out division winners in the AFC when it comes to Freddie Coleman and Harry Douglas. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 6XM Channel 80, as well as ESPNU.
I want winners.
All right, Pat Costello.
The AFC West. I knew we have to hurry up a little bit. We're running out of time.
Okay, well, let's not waste too much time. The Kansas City Chiefs, hands down. Yeah. We don't even need an explanation of why.
Yeah, exactly. What he said. Let's move on to the next one.
The AFC South.
All right, now Jacksonville came out as division last year with the Tennessee Titans. Houston Texans in transition. Once again, a new coaching staff. You also have the other team in that division, Indianapolis Colts. They're in transition with a new coaching staff and a new quarterback. We have two rookies starting in this division quarterback, C.J. Stroud in Houston and Anthony Rich in the Indianapolis Colts. Who do you like and why?
Could the camera please be put back on me?
Oh, Lord. Here we go. Look at this.
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at you.
I know everybody's been on Jacksonville. Even a month and a half ago, I was on Jacksonville, too. But things have changed. Okay. They went out and got a guy in DeAndre Hopkins. Right? They got a number one wide receiver. I think that is huge for this offense. They traded away A.J. Brown, and things was a disaster when it came to the receiving core for the Tennessee Titans. I think he is going to also help Treylon Burks be a better wide receiver in year two. DeAndre Hopkins, that is. Right. We cannot forget that they have a guy named Derrick Henry, who I still think is the best running back in the National Football League. Okay. You can argue with your mama or your auntie. Don't argue with me. I don't care. I'm rocking with Derrick King damn Henry. That's who I'm rolling with. But when you look at their defense, right, and Jeffrey Simmons, and they're getting Harold Landry, the third back, who was a double-digit sack guy before he got injured and couldn't play last year. You look at Tyre Tart, Denico Autry. They went over and brought a guy in Arden Key, you know, who some of their players tell me has been phenomenal for their team as well. And you look at the linebacker position, you go to San Francisco and get a guy, Al Shaier, who I think is going to be dynamic for their team as well. I think their defensive line is going to pose some issues on a consistent basis to their opponents.
Okay.
So that's why I'm rocking with the Tennessee Titans and the AFC South. Okay. This is a team now that basically gave it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. See, a lot of people don't want to bring that up. They basically gave it to the Jacksonville Jaguars last year because of the injuries and people not being available on their team.
Okay. I like the pick, but I'm not going there. I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to make that step up. And remember, that he has a certain guy named Calvin Ridley on his football team that was out for a year. When he's right and he's going to be right, that guy is an elite wide receiver in the National Football League. There's not a route that he can't run that you can try to knock him out. Travis Etienne Jr. is going to be terrific running back once again. And now they added Tank Bigsby as a perfect backup for him where he doesn't have to do anything. That defense should be better. Keep an eye on Josh Allen. I think he can get 12 sacks this year from the weak side linebacker position. I love what you said about Tennessee, but I'm going to slide that way to Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they win this division, and they could be hell on wheels in a loaded AFC.
Something very important for Trevor Lawrence.
What's that?
In the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got to get off to a fast start in 2023. That's what I want to see from Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville heading into this season.
But then if you get them behind, they got you right where they want you. Ask the Los Angeles Chargers when it comes to that.
I want winners.
We give you each and every winner in the AFC division with Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us for Little Freddie and Harry this morning on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as ESPNU. We love our coworkers, but sometimes when they say something, we all of a sudden say to ourselves, man, I'm going to have a bald spot in my head from scratching it. We'll get to that next if you keep it here.
I want winners.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
A little Freddie and Harry in the morning, because get used to that, because that's going to be the afternoon show on ESPN Radio starting on Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern time. So tune in, but you get a little taste right now with Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80, and don't forget about us on ESPNU. We love our coworkers. We enjoy them immensely. We love their work. But sometimes they'll say something, they'll leave Harry and I going, And we got three instances of that from some of our coworkers this week. For example, we start with Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. When he's on Get Up, and you also can catch Harry Dawson, that does a great job hanging out with Mike Greenberg and the rest of the guys. Mike Tannenbaum firmly believes Sean Payton may be in Denver, but he will not be able to fix Russell Wilson. And when that happens, this is going to be the end result.
Russell Wilson will absolutely be benched this year. It's not a matter of if, but when. And here's why. Sean Payton is in year one, and Jeff Darlington, his job description is to win championships, not to make sure that Russell Wilson is a good player. Sean will look at this as an opportunity and say, hey, I got Patrick Surtain, I got Jerry Jeudy, I got great young players. The best way to motivate them is to bench the quarterback, and that's what they're going to do.
All right, Harry, have at it.
The thing about it is that when you talk about can Sean Payton fix Russ, I can sit up here and honestly say I don't know, because when you look at the styles that the two bring to the table, Sean Payton, his offenses, it's all about timing, rhythm, precision, multiple personnel groupings, not sitting back there holding the ball, getting the ball out of your hands quickly. Right. It is contrast to what Russell Wilson has done his entire career. I would top that also with, I wasn't sold on what I seen in the preseason. Okay. Right from the Denver Broncos, and one of those preseason games, it literally took them, I think, drive four or five before they actually went down and scored a touchdown, and you had good plays. But you also seen some things where you're squinting your eyes from Russell Wilson, also from the offensive line, and also drops from receivers and running backs, some of the things that occurred last season. And I say that because when you look at the schedule and how this season starts for the Denver Broncos, they have the Raiders, the Commanders, the Dolphins, and the Chicago Bears. In those first four games, I think Russ should be able to – he should be able to.
Right.
To show that, you know, he can be the quarterback for this team.
Right.
But let's just say hypothetically things don't go so well. The next two games are against the Jets and that defense, and then Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So I can easily see if Russell isn't on board with Sean Payton is preaching and what he's teaching, a guy like Sean Payton, who I, you know, played against a lot when he was with the Saints and I was with the Falcons, and I know his mindset, I can easily see him saying, you know what, we're going to go to the next guy, especially if they aren't winning and it's looking sloppy, it's not looking good.
Well, I will say this when it comes to, and I'm going to quote Deion Sanders, not a Colorado coach, but when he used to work for the NFL Network, first name Russell, last name Wilson. if this doesn't work out early on, he's going to be first name on the last name bench because yep. Sean Payton is the sheriff in town. Russell Wilson had his chance to be the dude, and it didn't work out for him and Nathaniel Hackett. Sean Payton is like, look, I didn't pay you. It's not my money, and I didn't bring you in here. If it's not working out to my liking, he has that voice of management to say, yeah, I think we need to go in a different direction. It's going to be a dastardly cap hit when it comes to money, but we got to think about the future of the franchise and not about the feelings of Russell Wilson, even though I still think that's not going to be the case. Speaking of outlandish statements, speaking of get up, Mike Greenberg, the point guard of that show, also ESPN radio host, Greeny with Mike Greenberg, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern time. He believes that at a certain point, the Dallas Cowboys are going to move on from Dak Prescott and that they're going to trade him for who?
The Jets have a young quarterback they drafted very high who has shown himself to be nowhere near ready to play. And they think they have a championship caliber roster. So what do? They go out and they get themselves an aging veteran who might be able to give them 1 or 2 years and a shot at a Super Bowl and maybe mentor the young kid towards being able to play. So what is Jerry Jones perhaps thinking? What's How about that? Thinking about a Super Bowl winning veteran quarterback who might want to finish his career in his hometown of Dallas, Texas,
and
mentor a young player in a year or two to being ready to take over the reins.
Right.
That young player could be Trey Lance.
Okay.
I could easily see a world in which a year from today, Dak Prescott is way better off being the quarterback of Tampa or Minnesota or Denver or someplace where they really want him. And Matthew Stafford is the starting quarterback of his hometown Dallas Cowboys.
What?
Well, let me say this. In
defense of Greeny?
I was the person that was up there like, oh, man, it probably does sound good. But no, I'm retracting that.
I like to amend my reaction.
You know, sometimes we make mistakes, you know, and I'm not too much of a I don't have pride to admit when I, you know.
When you're wrong.
I was up there green. I was like, oh, now that I'm thinking about it, I was like, no, nah, because when you look at Dak Prescott, he's younger.
Yes.
You know, he –
healthier.
He's more durable.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, I understand Matthew Stafford has been phenomenal in the National Football League. And he went to the Rams and won them a Super Bowl. But it's not a guarantee he's going to be able to do that.
Right.
With the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a guarantee. Like the offense that he ran with Sean McVay, those guys were on the same page through and through. Who say he's going to be on the same page when he gets to the Dallas Cowboys if Mike McCarthy is still the coach then? Right.
All right. Enough of this football talk, but the best moment that happened on Get Up, and Harry then can explain this, was everyone knows there's a segment called Sneaky Hembo. The analyst, one of the analysts battles Hembo on a trivia question. Our friend Harry Douglas was doing it the last 2 days, and this interaction ensued after Harry got it right.
Hembo, I can't believe you had the audacity to disrespect me yesterday when I walked in this building. And I'm 2'2" since you have been back. Sneaky Hembo, my ass.
Now, what did Hembo do to you?
It was all fun and games.
I know, but still.
When I walked in, so every morning when I walk into Seaport.
Yeah.
You know, I say good morning to everyone. I'm high energized, and I just want to see everyone smiling, man.
Absolutely.
And I seen him. I was like, well, look what the wind and blew in the building. Look what the wind. So we started joking, and he was like, I'm gone for two weeks, and you're doing all this dancing. I was like, you've been gone for 4 damn months, first of all.
Exactly. Yeah,
2 weeks and 4 months is a big difference. And he was like, you're doing all this dancing. I got something for you today.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, do you? So when I was able to get the question right that day, and then I was able to get it right the second day in a row, I just felt some type of way. It was all fun and games.
It
like Hembo is my guy now.
Yes,
Hembo, Hembo's my guy.
By the Google the video, you're welcome. You will not be disappointed with Harry Douglas just described. You're going to find out Harry Douglas upset with this conference in big time athletics. That's next.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.